based on current legislative efforts. Overturning Roe will put things back in the state's hands to determine what happens. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Candace Owens said 79% of Planned Parenthood clinics are in minority neighborhoods, and that is not by accident. That's by its founder, Margaret Sanger's eugenicist design. The left sees racism everywhere except where it actually is. And why is Ukraine at the forefront of fetal stem cell therapies? The first fetal stem cell treatment in humans occurred there. The first world center to use fetal stem cells for therapeutic purposes in humans was founded in Kiev. The world's first fully licensed stem cell bank is in Ukraine. Thank you for exposing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Next, Pope Francis first called for backing Ukraine in the war with Russia, but he just came out and backtracked, saying NATO caused Russia to respond to Ukraine. Maybe somebody's talking to him. Thank you, Lord. Supplying any weaponry and funds to the Azov Battalion is prohibited by law. This is when the Secretary of State has credible information that such a unit has committed gross violations of human rights, which they have. Thank you, Lord. More truth. Pfizer just released data. 80,000 pages. They knew that the vaccine harmed the fetus in pregnant women and that the vaccine was not 95% effective, but their data shows it was only a 12% efficacy rate. Thank you, Lord, for bringing out the truth. All but one of Trump's 43 endorsees have won their primaries so far. Rhinos spent millions of dollars to stop his endorsee in Ohio but failed. 10-0 in Ohio. It's been shown that if all the people get out to vote, that we cannot be stopped, and the same will happen in the midterms. More than 70% of Trump's endorsees believe the 2020 election was fraudulent. Dan Scavino, next, just posted that not everything can be publicly disclosed when revealed because so much ties back to foreign heads of state. Much will be revealed. We want transparency, he said, but not at a cost we can't recover from. Much will be done behind the scenes in order to prevent too much upheaval. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing it. Amen. As a result of the 2000 Mules movie, the left is saying, well, we don't know whose name was on the ballots, but it really doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Either way, whose name was on it, it disqualifies the outcome. Amen. John Durham has gotten a court order that grants immunity to Laura Siegel of Fusion GPS, unsealed by someone in the DOJ's criminal division. This is a second win before Clinton's trial. A lot of things are going to be coming out. Twitter is likely to be used to reveal truth to the masses. Three Supreme Court justices live in Virginia, and protesting outside private homes there is illegal. Republican legislators are pursuing a bill to protect the Supreme Court justices from harassment protesting, which is not a right. And these are the statistics that have come out showing the reason that women seek an abortion by percentages. 0.15% because of rape. 0.2% because a woman's life is endangered. 0.98% for a serious fetal abnormality. 1.48% because a woman's physical health was threatened by the pregnancy. 1.88% because the woman's psychological health was threatened. All five of these represent only 4.69%. In 20% of the cases, the woman aborted for social or economic reasons, and in about 75%, no reason was given. It was just elective. Thank you, Lord, for bringing out the truth. 53%, a majority of Americans, are not behind the move of the Dems to try to codify Roe. The entire timeline of Twitter's acquirement is saturated with white hat involvement. It was calculated, methodical, strategical, well-timed to maximize damage and enemy exposure, and captivated a massive global audience. The enemy not only lost control of one of their most powerful brainwashing assets, but also exposed their own corruption while under the world spotlight. Trump and his team waited until after the Twitter move was secure before going spotlight. to the public that they were involved. He quietly was working on Truth Social and appeared uninvolved. They were targeting a certain group of people. Elon, remember, is also the U.S. military's highest paid contractor. He's the author of Starlink, internet computer satellites, and he's also the U.S. military supports Trump. This is a breakdown of some of the illegal votes found in the swing states. In Michigan, there were 500 mules times 50 Dropbox visits times 5 illegal ballots equals 125,000 illegal votes. In Wisconsin, 100 mules by 20 times 28 Dropbox visits times 5 ballots, 14,000 illegal votes. In Georgia, 30,000 illegal votes plus others. If you count only the mules that went to 10 plus Dropboxes, Trump picks up 3 of the battleground states and wins 279 to 259 in the electoral vote. If you count the mules that went to 5-plus Dropboxes, then Trump wins all 5 battleground states, 305 to 233 electoral votes. And that's just considering the swing states without computer-generated numbers also. In Michigan, for example, there are 226,590 illegal ballot votes. And in Arizona, 207,435 illegal votes. When you add up all the swing states, it's in the millions. Thank you, Lord. President Trump said, the movie just out, 2,000 Mules, shows conclusively that the presidential election was rigged and stolen. It's a brilliant movie that will go down as one of the most consequential of all time. See it now. The evidence is so damning that the fake news won't be able to refute it. The elections were stolen. They actually overthrew the government, he came right out and said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the truth coming out. Then just a couple of quick headlines. Conservatives sweep Texas school board elections on theme of transparency, no masks, and no CRT in the classroom. Next, pilots injured by COVID vaccines speak out. I will probably never fly again, they say. In interviews with The Defender, pilots injured by COVID-19 vaccine said despite a culture of fear and intimidation, they're compelled to speak out against vaccine mandates that rob pilots of their careers and in some cases their lives. Thank you, Lord. Next headline, Justice Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court can't be bullied in Roe v. Wade. We can't be an institution that can be bullied into giving you the outcomes you want, he said, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. He told a gathering on Thursday on Roe v. Wade, the events from earlier this week are a symptom of that. He was speaking to the Judicial Conference 11th Circuit. Next, Michigan police seize voting machine during investigation into possible election breaches. Police officers in Michigan took custody of a voting machine as a state expands its investigation into what it's described as possible unauthorized access to election equipment. Georgia, the latest state to crack down on transgender males in girls' sports. Students in more than 400 Georgia high schools must now compete based on biological sex. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Truth Police, critics sound alarm over Biden's new disinformation board. More than a dozen GOP senators behind a bill to stop the board, calling its creation an abuse of power, while drawing comparisons to George Orwell's Ministry of Truth, which pushed government propaganda in his classic novel 1984 about dictatorship. And last headline, Durham scores huge victory against Hillary camp and Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS poisoned the public with deceitful opposition research. Excuse me, the lies are catching up with them. After hearing oral arguments and motions filed by SCO Michael Sussman, Hillary for America, Perkins Coie, Fusion GPS, and Rodney Jaffe, Judge Cooper has now granted in-camera review of all 1,400 documents that Fusion refused to relinquish. Durham is winning, exposing the truth. Thank you, Lord, that we pray your will. As we pray your will in faith, we see changes taking place more and more. Sooner and sooner. Your promises are sure. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. You move the mountains. Amen. Nita and Ricky and the team, we all thank you for your steadfastness, standing in faith, believing God, standing on his promises to see them brought to pass. We trust in him, and we will see his salvation. Amen. Ricky will open things up for us and teach on what the Lord has for us tonight. Then afterward, Elizabeth will get us started in prayer, followed by others on the team, and Nita will close us in prayer. Please stay engaged in the Spirit, in prayer, in the Spirit tonight with us as we press in and hear what the Lord has and pray his will. Amen. Okay, Carrie, would you sound the shofar and the sound of the Lion of Judah, please, and then Ricky will open us up with the teaching.
Hey, John, I'm trying to get Broadcaster to pull up, but it's not pulling up.
Okay, why don't you want to just go ahead and start, Ricky?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Turn with me, please. Even though we all get very, very excited when we hear that shofar and the roar of the lion, this is a good message tonight, and we have a lot of good to celebrate, and we give thanks to the Lord. So please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I first want to thank you and give you praise for the wonderful reports that we've heard tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you are so faithful. I thank you, Lord, that you are answering our prayers, years of intercession. And Father God, you are bringing forth the answers. We thank you for this, Lord. I pray that tonight, as we study your word, Lord God, that you would open up your word to us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord God, that we would come to an understanding of your word and be able to apply it in our lives. I thank you, Father God. Let your Spirit come. Be our teacher. Be our guide. And settle things around us as we seek you. In your precious and holy name, amen. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 12. Now, we're going to do a little bit of a word study here, and I know that that can be difficult sometimes through the phone line, but I'm going to ask the Lord to open our eyes and give us a little bit of grace in this, because it's important that we see what the word says and what the word means. It's very important to us so that we can step into the fullness of what his word is instructing us to do. These are important times, and we can't ever take the word of God lightly, but understanding the depth of what has been written will open the eyes of our understanding and give us the faith to step into it. So we're going to move ahead with that. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And, you know, Colossians and Ephesians, little side note, Colossians and Ephesians were written about the same time, and they were sent with Tychicus. He's in the very last verse of both books, sent with him to go be delivered. And so Paul was imprisoned at this time, and so he sat down after receiving reports and penned these letters. And they were distributed. So you can read Ephesians and you could read Colossians and you could really see the picture of what Paul is trying to convey to the body of Christ. So Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, translated is the Greek word for that is methistami, which comes from meet and histami, which means meta is to focus on what happens after. Histami is to remove to make to stand, to put in place. So this word, when he says, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, what this is saying is he has picked us up, he's wiped the slate clean, and he has placed us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear son. And our focus at this point is forward thinking. He's picked us up and placed us in his kingdom. Now, this is not to say that we don't need to deal with our junk, because we all have junk that we come into the kingdom of God with. It's just like when you get married, right? Everybody comes with their piece of luggage, and they bring it in, and hopefully they don't multiply luggage, but instead they deal with that stuff so that they can move forward and create their family. But in this, it's when I was thinking about this, I was reminded of when I would take my kids somewhere. You know, I had four kids, and we often had a couple of extras, either cousins or friends, and I had a 15-passenger vehicle. So we would pick those kids up, and we would put them in the car, pick those kids up and put them in the car, pick those kids up and put them in the car, and get them all buckled in so that, why? We could all go from point A to point B as a family, as a unit. And that's, if you picture that when you're getting your kids in the car, think about this. This is what God has done with you to bring you into his kingdom. Moving forward, verse 14, in whom, so he's picked us up, delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, the word for consist is synisto. And it comes from sun and histemi. Sun means union or together with, and histemi means to stand or cohere. So what this word means is that he is uniting the parts to bring them together as a whole, and they are consistent, or they are held together, cohered in him, by him, for him. In him, all things consist. In him, all things consist. Now, there's so much deeper that we could go into here, but the Lord has a message that he wants us to view what his scripture says on this so that we can focus on a word he has for us tonight. If you're listening to Mom's messages on Thursday on union, that's the deeper levels of this. But the point that we are making with this passage of Scripture is that Christ picked us up, brought us together into a family unit, and that we are adhered together in him, by him, for him, for his workings. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Who's the church? Those called out of the world and up to God. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things into himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So again, what he did was transferred us from one kingdom, that's Satan's kingdom, because you're either in Satan's kingdom or you're in Christ's kingdom, There's no in between. We like to think there's this little space that, well, we're not really good. We're not really bad. We wouldn't classify as this or that. That's not the truth. The truth is we are in Satan's kingdom or we are in Christ's kingdom. And we are moving into a time when the fence sitters are going to be forced to come down and make a choice. So the work of the cross removed us from the kingdom of the world to deliver us from Satan and his power, his kingdom of sin, sickness, and depravity, in order to place us into the kingdom of God under the government of the Son of God's love. The after effects of what Christ did was so complete that if we'll engage with his kingdom instead of using our gifts and our talents to fight our way back into the life of the world or even compete with one another, which we see in the church a lot, we can step into the fullness of the kingdom work, which is what we're called to do. Now, what do I mean by that? He took us, put us into his kingdom. And if you look, some towns you can go, and there is a church on every street corner. There is a denomination, of multi-denominations. There's branches and offshoots of it. I mean, you know, I read recently that they've got 72 genders, you know, divide and conquer, right? Well, we've got that same sort of thing happening within the church. We've got dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens upon dozens of different denominations and offshoots of those denominations. And what we have ended up doing, and it's not to say we shouldn't be in church, we should be in church. It's not to say that we shouldn't be involved in that. What I'm saying is that part of what the enemy has done is to put us in a church and put walls up. And so we have not been able to unify as the body of Christ, with Christ as the head, on key issues that affect our lives, that affect our world, that affect our children, that affect our nation. When we drive down the street and we see a sign on this church or that church that says all are welcome, and it's got the rainbow flag with same-sex marriage, Satan has infiltrated. When we have Black Lives Matter speaking in our churches, teaching critical race theory, Satan has infiltrated. When we don't know as a body of Christ, as the church, whether we should be pro-life or pro-choice, Satan has infiltrated. And when we fail as leaders to teach people on these issues, we are giving the enemy room to go into our congregations and divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. You know, I talk about the church I grew up in a lot because our pastor was highly respected. He's with the Lord now, but highly respected. In our town, one of the reasons is because he brought the churches together to pray for the city. There are at least three churches that I know of that are offshoots of that church. They've taken the same Bible believing teachers and they have planted churches, which is what we're called to do, right? We're called to grow, expand, and reach out. Grow, expand, and reach out. There's at least three, and there may be two more that I'm just not remembering off the top of my head. And that's in a period of 25 years. That is what God calls us to do. But when the enemy has his way, especially on an issue, as critical as abortion, as critical as the LGBTQ plus agenda, as critical as pretty much everything that comes out of Black Lives Matter's mouth. The enemy has room to go in and divide and conquer. And it's one of the reasons why the ecclesia is not as effective as it could be. God is calling the ecclesia to arise and influence our nations. He wants us to go forth. He wants us to influence and impact the cities in which we live, the states in which we live, the nations in which we live. It's important that we see we are one and in Him. So, God has picked us up out of the world, and He's brought us into Himself to enter into His kingdom and then do what? Live as citizens of the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So we strive for unity among ourselves, a oneness that God then can use for His glory. John 17, verse 16 through 23. It's a lot of scripture, and I know, but this is a very important season that we're in, and we must understand where we are and what steps we're to take. Verse 16, John chapter 17, verse 16. Jesus was praying to the Father, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through what? Through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be as one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, and the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them, as Thou hast loved Me." Now, the Greek word for one is used 5 times in this few verses. The Greek word for one is heis. It's spelled H-E-I-S and means universally opposed to a division into parts and in ethical matters to dissensions. Universally opposed to a division into parts and in ethical matters to dissensions. So He is saying that He prayed that we would be universally opposed to divisions into parts and in ethical matters to dissensions, as what the Father and Christ were. That we would be one or universally opposed to a division into parts and in ethical matters to dissensions. that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. His prayer 5 times he said that we would be universally opposed to division into parts and in ethical matters to dissensions. What are ethical matters? Issues of marriage, of abstinence, issues of abortion, issues of homosexuality, issues much like the many things that Paul wrote about. When we talk about sin, we are supposed to be universally opposed to that. And on those ethical matters, opposed to dissension. That means we don't give an inch on this issue. And one of the reasons why sin has been allowed to enter into the body of Christ, and it's so that makes my stomach turn to say it. One of the reasons sin has been allowed to enter into the church is because we have allowed ourselves to be divided on moral issues. John 14:8-9a. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. So if we have been translated, picked up from the kingdom of Satan, and put in to the kingdom of God, if we are in unity, if we are one in Christ, and we are opposed to a dissension on moral issues, we are demonstrating Christ, who demonstrated the Father, and we are living our lives as people who understand that we are the body and he is the head. His thoughts are our thoughts. His desires are our desires. What was his desire? To show the Father. Think about this for a moment. When Adam and Eve sinned, God knew, right? Because he knows all things. And I've often wondered, before God went to meet with Adam in the garden and cry out his name, did he, the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, stand there and say, what do we do? How do we bring them back? And I've often seen the Son's response. I'll go, and I'll bring mankind back. I'll go, and I'll demonstrate who we are. I'll love them, I'll heal them, I'll restore them. I'll hang upon that cross that they might return through me to us. I'll demonstrate how to walk as one living in the kingdom of God. Can you picture that for a moment? That quick response, that conversation that I'm sure was a heartbreaking conversation. And that quick response of the Son to bring us back. Bring us into His kingdom, where we can function as His body with Him as the head. We must live as He lived, think as He thinks, demonstrate that we are His, walk as we know and understand that He's our head. Because we make up the body, and the body is to be the expression of Him in the earth. When He said to me a few months ago, Ecclesia, arise! That's how He woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's taken me on this process of what He did so we could, and what it looks like. We are not our own. We bring our baggage into this, and He wants us to put it to the wayside. Let Him heal it. Let Him restore us. But He wants us to function with Him as the head and us as the body. We reflect Him. You know, when my family and I, when we would take our kids on vacation, my husband came home with this brilliant idea. And he said, honey, you know, I think we should, you know, I saw this idea. It's a little cheesy, but I think we should all wear the same outfit. I said, what? We had kids from, you had to carry in your arm all day to, you know, up. And then there's us. I said, we're not going to find clothes that fit us all. And he said, no, we can make them. Well, he was working full-time, so in other words, you can make them. So he brought the fabric home, and he said, we can just get shirts to match. So I got my sewing machine out, and I sewed up, you know, and back in the 90s, they had, like, those, you know, those weightlifters, those pants that weightlifters wear. In fact, I think they still wear them. And he brought home the brightest colored fabric, and it had like red and orange and yellow, and they were like in geometric shapes, you know. So I made everybody pants, and we bought red sweatshirts. Now, we were a family of six. So you walk into a theme park, people turn. And he said, nobody's going to get lost. Everybody's going to know who belongs to who. And I said, yes, this everybody's going to know. That's absolutely correct. He thought it was the greatest idea. I thought it was a joke. But we were, one of us was over getting food, and one of us was taking somebody to the bathroom, and one of the kids got loose in the food court, you know? And they said, wait, don't you belong to them over there? Like, I think I just saw your husband with your son in the bathroom. Don't you belong to them over there? Because obviously nobody's wearing the same outfit. And later, one of us would be over, you know, changing a diaper, and another one is over on, you know, taking them to see the little elephants or whatever. Hey, don't you guys belong to each other? Because I just saw your wife over there changing a diaper, and see, the whole day was like that. Aren't you one? Aren't you a unit? We reflected one another. It was bold, you know, laughable. But the truth is, everyone knew who the Wilsons were. And we knew, they all knew we belonged to each other. We were one, even if we were on other sides of the park. And I never forgot that. And when I was asking the Lord to give me kind of an example, and as I was kind of going over my notes before this, he said, remember the vacations in those outfits. And I thought, that's the perfect example. You see, we reflected one another. Nobody said, you know, that little boy with the brown hair and the little... No, they said, you know, that kid with the big, bright red shirt and those big, you know, geometric, bright orange and yellow and red pants? That's what they said. Because he reflected the family. We had been taken out of the world and put into this family and were clearly identified. And we reflected the Wilson family. We've been taken, translated out of the world, and we now are held together, stuck like glue, in the kingdom of God by Christ. That's who we must reflect. He is our head. We are the body. Why is this message so important today? Roe versus Wade is about to be overturned. There's a possibility they will announce it Monday. Roe versus Wade. 5 justices have voted to overturn it. 1 voted to support the Mississippi case, which is huge in and of itself. That's 6 out of 9 voted in favor of this case, 5 of which voted to extract the license to kill from the judicial branch of our government. How does the ecclesia or ecclesia respond? Are we united on the issue of abortion? I shared last night, even as I prayed, that the generation being born right now is the most pro-life generation. Or the generation that's moving into voting age, is the most pro-life generation. But a study was done a couple of years ago, and of those who identify as evangelical Christians, 40% don't believe that human life is sacred. What's their stance going to be on this? 34% argue that abortion is morally acceptable if it spares the mother from serious illness or death. Now, this is one study taken out of Arizona. Does this reflect a massive group? Is that possible? 44% say the Bible is ambiguous in its teaching about abortion. And that's not true. God told Adam and Eve, go, multiply. When they got off the boat, God told Noah and his family, go, multiply, fill the earth. He didn't say pick and choose. He said, go, multiply, fill the earth. That's the commission. And it's innate in every animal, every creature in the earth to reproduce. Where is the church? Do we stand on the side of life? Life begins at conception. The soul is created by God in heaven and released and sent down so that the moment the sperm meets the egg, the soul is knit right then and there. That's truth. And this is the principle that no matter what our backgrounds are, that baggage, if it opposes that, must be left behind. And we must step into the oneness in Christ to reflect Him and His Word. It's a new day for a new way. And my time is up, but I want to share this vision. In February 10th, I had a vision. And I would title this Young and Old Shielding Life. I saw the Lord proclaim the word life. The word came out of His mouth and reverberated across the globe. I could see this impact. The sound waves rippled across the nation and then the earth. When the Lord sent out that call, a worldwide phenomenon occurred. The young and the old, they all heard and felt the cry for life as it sounded. Come and fight with me, bellowed from the heavens. The people turned and responded with a resounding yes. Yes, we will fight with you. They ran to a central place, and there was a woman with a child in her womb. The people began to circle the child. They formed another circle outside the first, and that continued outward until it was as far as the eye could see. I was then taken up above this vast number of people and saw the wonder and beauty that occurred. The people had become a human shield for this pre-born child. Then I saw the serpent approach her. Now, when I was praying December 17th, I saw a serpent come and speak to young women. It's too much. You can't do this. He'll leave you. You can't afford it, to try to convince them to have abortions. So I saw that same serpent approach this woman, or at least try to. However, the human shield completely blocked the entry of the serpent. He tried and tried, slithering around, trying to access her from every angle. But the human shield kept expanding. More and more were added to their number until he was a continent away from his prey. Suddenly, the Lord came and picked him up and tore him in two. The scream was horrific, but there was a tangible oppression lifted from the nation when that occurred. This human shield not only protected the baby, but it shielded the mother from the attack that she experienced. She felt safe. She knew she could make it. She could take care of her baby. She had no fear, and she was secure. It really was a most amazing experience. The church must come together on this issue. We're the body of Christ. We must stand and fight for life from the moment of conception. We must. If the body of Christ will unite on this, we are going to see this. John shared some of the states that have abortion bans, some of the states that have restrictions. We're actually going to see this ripple across the nation if the church will unite. We have far more power than we think we do. When Target decided to open up their bathrooms to whoever identified with whatever gender several years ago, the church boycotted Target. They reversed their decision in less than 30 days because their stock sank. Their profits dropped millions of dollars because the Christians stood, and we stood together. Let's come and stand together for life and see the momentum of seeing Roe v. Wade overturned ripple across our nation as we become a nation of life. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the intercessors. I thank you for the grace. I thank you for helping us, Lord God, to receive this message and for helping us to see what you're trying to show us. And Lord God, helping us to understand we are your body, held together by you. And you are the head. And just as you demonstrated the Father, we are to reflect and demonstrate you in all areas. In your precious name, amen.